What a great song to start with. Can you stand it? What talent we have here. Oh my gosh. Oh, well, good morning and happy Sunday and happy August. This summer is just ripping by, isn't it? I'm so grateful to be here today on a low humidity day. Wow. This past couple of weeks of summer heat have kind of worn me out. And I have felt like my personal capacity for patience has been linked directly to the heat and humidity index on the Weather Channel. Anybody feel that way sometimes? Oh, yeah, absolutely. So just by a show of hands this morning, who considers themselves to be a patient person? Whoa, good stuff. You will notice that I am not raising my hand this morning. I am going to tell you that I have struggled with areas of patience in my life, for my whole life, particularly in areas of time, waiting for others, and waiting for my wants and desires to kind of sync up with God's time. Sometimes I sort of wish there could be a sneak preview of God's time. Maybe there could be like one of those great old clocks. Remember the old movies in the news center where they had a clock that said San Francisco time and Hong Kong time? Or maybe we could reinstate that old telephone number you used to be able to call for time and temperature. The time is now 11:32 a.m. But in today's world, I feel like there's probably going to be an app for our phone shortly that says God's time. And maybe it has a little angel on the icon, so it would be unmistakable. When you click on it, it could say things like, in God's time, you have 7,283 more days left on earth. Woo, now that would be scary, wouldn't it? No. Or it could say, Becca, you wasted 5 precious hours yesterday watching reality TV. I would so much prefer if I designed this particular app that it would say things like, relax, Becca. In God's time, all is well and already perfect and completely worth the wait. So in our time together this morning, we're going to explore that waiting and that power of patience together and look for some deeper insights. So as good truth students, we're going to start off on the right foot with a powerful affirmation, the one that Robert led you in a few moments ago. I am patient, positive, and filled with faith. Would you say that? I am patient, positive, and filled with faith. Amen. So growing up in the summertime, that always meant going to vacation Bible school for me. So today, we're going to wander back and find a wonderful hero from Vacation Bible School, Joseph, the coat of many colors guy. Remember him? I used to love to get to color that picture of Joseph. You could use all the crayons in the box. But Joseph is like a real inspiration for the value of patience. When we first meet Joseph in Genesis, he's 17 years old, and he was born the last of 12 brothers and a much older father who loved and favored him over his brothers. His dad showered him with affection and gave him gifts like that fabulous coat of many colors. And as you can imagine, his brothers got pretty jealous. They were sick of Joseph pretty quickly. But Joseph loved God. And he was a dreamer, and he had visions from God. He dreamed that he was born with a special purpose, and that someday all of his family, in fact, the sun and the moon and the stars, would one day bow down to him in his greatness. Well, Joseph was pretty naive, as we all are at 17, and he got so excited about his dream that he bragged to his family about it. Well, the brothers had had enough. And they plotted to kill him. The last moment, however, they had a change of heart. And they sold him into slavery in Egypt. What seemed at that time could be a fate worse than death. The Bible tells us, though Joseph was sorely tested and had many trials in Egypt, he continued to love God and believe that God would bless him. He hung on to his dream. And he waited it out. And amazingly, he thrived in Egypt and had many powerful friends, including the Pharaoh. Joseph's story really resonated with me, I think because I'm the baby of the family too. And I just cannot imagine what a horrible feeling it would be to realize that your own brothers hated you so much they would sell you into slavery. To think that at 17, you might never return home. You might never see your family again and were doomed to a life of bitterness and endless work under cruel masters. Despite all that, Joseph never forgot his dream and he had faith in God. And as the story goes, ultimately, 17 years later, he was celebrated and happily reunited with his family. Think about that, 17 years in slavery. Can anyone imagine surviving those brutal years by just being patient? But that's the power of a dream. I want you to close your eyes for just a moment and call a dream into your heart right now, something you are waiting for. And in your heart, I want you to know that affirmation one more time. I am patient, positive, and filled with faith. We're not going to underestimate the power of that affirmation this morning. We're going to break it down as we talk together and work it. So let's open our eyes and get started. I am patient. Say it with me. I am patient. So what is this thing called patience? Well, most simply put, patience is waiting until later for what we want right now. In today's fast-paced world, the very idea of patience seems almost ridiculous, doesn't it? I mean, we live in the land of the New York minute. I think the world is at our fingertips with a touch of a button or the sweep of a screen. So why should any desire be frustrated, even for a moment? Psychologist Dr. Judith Orloff, who's spoken several times here at Unity, suggests that if we equate the word patience with being resigned or passive in our lives, then we need to update our definition and begin to see patience as a power. She invites us to embrace patience as a form of compassion, an opportunity to stop and take a breath and go within to our spiritual center whenever we encounter frustration. I think we'd all agree this morning that frustration feels pretty awful. When my needs aren't met, I get pretty crazy. I know it's very immature, but I think frustration is certainly tied to my inability to deny gratification. We've become used to immediate results. Emails whip around the world, and we can know right now what the weather is in Shanghai or Sydney, Australia, and what color shoes Kim Kardashian has on right this minute. It's such a great thing. But in the speed of light, at least for me, it's created a very low tolerance for frustration. When I get immersed in that hustle and bustle of human busyness, it's all too fast. And it's all too easy to stomp my foot like a selfish four-year-old and demand resolution. Maybe my next step is to shake off that impending tantrum and have a change of attitude. One of my favorite TV ministers, Reverend Joyce Meyer, says, "Patience is not just the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good attitude while we're waiting." So now we're going to slide into that second part of our affirmation, being positive. I am positive. Will you say that with me? I am positive. You know, I don't think we're born with patience, do you? I think it's really a developed skill. If we think about any baby we have ever seen, when they get hungry, they're going to let you know it. They don't care if the bottle is warm or not, or if mom is just hanging on with her last nerve to try and get it ready. That baby wants it now. And sometimes I'm just like that screaming little baby in my head some days, especially when I get impatient with myself. For instance, sometimes I think I should be able to handle everything without help. Inside me, the little voice says things like, "But I'm a minister. Ministers don't act like that." Or, "I'm a grown woman. I should be able to handle this and keep my cool." Or sometimes I think there's only one way to accomplish my goal. And then I become impatient because my way doesn't work. So let's get back to Judy Orloff. How about injecting a little compassion here? How about letting go and letting God do it God's way? What about going within and giving this job over to God? I have to practice patience and be positive. Sometimes it helps me just to be aware of when I start feeling impatient. For example, when you wake up in the morning, are you already anticipating that the day is going to be a hassle? Do you struggle and drag yourself out the door, already feeling pressured and feeling like you're behind the eight ball? Or you can always choose to get still first thing and use our prayer and meditation skills and see the day unfolding perfectly according to plan. Setting your intention with your very first breath that all the details are going to fall right into place. You know, I think some of us may have the belief that being comfortable is the only state that we can tolerate. A lot of years ago, I worked with a psychologist who taught me to be still and not react immediately when I had an impulse. She said, "This is just uncomfortable, not intolerable." Okay, well, I can buy that just uncomfortable, but when I get uncomfortable, I want to fix it. Anybody else want to fix it this morning? All right. But here's the challenge with being a fixer. I immediately assume that I have to change the other person, the other situation, or that thing that I think is causing my discomfort. It's not the outside thing that's the source of my pain, but how my mind sees it. No matter how bad or good an outer thing is, it's my mind that is the cause of discomfort and not outer circumstances. In the midst of frustration, why is it so easy to wander off that path of solid unity principles? It's right there in our bulletin every week, number 3. My thoughts and beliefs create my experience of life. The main thing here is just to stop our story and change our minds. And as we get more and more practice with that and with our patience, we can stop pouring gasoline on our little story about how wrong it all is, or how wrong they are, or how wrong we are, and feeling better in just a few seconds when we change our mind. I have the power to change my mind. So take a breath. Oh, are you ready to practice your patience in a positive way? All right. I'm going to tell you about a little experiment that I'd like for us to try all together next week. I want you to find a long, slow-moving line to wait in. Ooh. It can be at the grocery store. It can be at the bank. But my personal favorite is the post office. I'm going to the post office. Oh. Now, we're going to be patient, and I'm going to get support from all of you when I go to the post office on Monday. So what we're going to do is get in line, and instead of immediately getting irritated, we're going to take a breath. And we're going to affirm, I am patient, and I'm going to wait in peace. So then we're going to take a look around and see some of the other people and maybe put our feet in someone else's shoes for a moment. Try and empathize with that cashier or that postal worker up behind the desk and see them doing the best they can. Smile and say a couple of nice words to the people around you. Now, I'm not inviting you to start the rant. Everybody knows the rant, right? Oh, you know, I go right into it. It's like my preset. It says, "How long have you been waiting? I have never seen anybody more incompetent. Do they realize what we're doing? If I was in charge," well, never happens to anybody here, right? But just for today, we're going to make a pact that we're going to choose to smile instead of complaining. Even something as simple as saying, "Beautiful day, isn't it?" can diffuse some anger in a second flat. I like this idea too. Use the time online to daydream. Take a little vacation in your mind. Or think about what you're going to do when this task is finished. As soon as I'm finished, I'm going to go and buy an iced tea as big as my head. Something to look forward to. And here's a really radical suggestion. Just close your eyes for one moment and say a little prayer for everybody who's waiting right at that moment. Maybe waiting for their grandbaby to be born. Maybe waiting for lab results with a loved one. Maybe waiting to welcome a soldier safely home. Just send some love and hold everybody who is waiting in prayer as we all wait for our good to manifest. You know, probably one of the most famous scripture passages and one that we say all the time in weddings is from 1 Corinthians 13:4, and that begins, "Love is patient." Maybe patience becomes first in this list of definitions of love because true love is the kind of love that is giving and not selfish. For true love to show up in our lives, we have to get over our selfish attitudes. Patience begins with understanding others and their needs over and above our own. So now, we reach the end of our affirmation. I am filled with faith. Would you know that? I am filled with faith. Patience means waiting our turn and knowing that our turn will come. And of course, how do we know that our turn is coming? Through our faith, of course. In the Revealing Word, Charles Fillmore tells us that patience is an attitude of mind characterized by poise, inner calmness, and quiet endurance, especially in the face of trying conditions. Patience has its foundation in faith and is perfected only in those who have unwavering faith in God. You know, you won't find patience in the list of 12 powers that Mr. Fillmore created. But if you're familiar with them, you know that our powers are centered in energy centers someplace in our body. Unity minister John Strickland suggests that the power of patience is located in the shoulders and in the back of the neck. Now, doesn't that make perfect sense? I know when I get tense and impatient, the first place I feel it is in my neck and my shoulders. In fact, just thinking about that definition of patience made my neck tighten up a little bit. Patience being perfected only in those who have unwavering faith in God. I kept going back to that and reading it again, and finally I had to admit I was a little shocked to realize that my lack of patience shows me a lack of faith in God. Ouch! Ugh. I had to swallow really hard on that, but it does make sense, so stick with me for just a moment. As truth students, we know that God is our source and provides whatever we need, even before we ask for it, sometimes even before we fully know what's our heart's desire. We also know that our human eyes sometimes just cannot see the good in a situation. Sometimes we have to be patient and wait on God's time. Whether we like it or not, it takes a while for our human understanding to take in that God sees so much further than we can ever imagine, and that all things have already worked out for our highest and best. If we can hang on to the faith of Joseph, we need never give up our heart's desire or our dreams of greatness. With compassion and love, we can be patient and relax in the knowing that Spirit will never forsake us. This morning, I want us to remember that our God is as large as our faith, and know for certain that Spirit is arranging all things in our best interest. When we think of unwavering faith in God, it just seems natural to think about our older brother and way shower, Jesus. Talk about patience. Whew. Jesus bore every challenge imaginable, dealing every day with those silly disciples, being challenged by the scribes and the Pharisees trying to entrap him, and then Satan like tempting him relentlessly when he was hungry and tired. He never gave up. He totally trusted God and he remained positive. The Bible says he showed a cheerful spirit. Jesus was cool under fire. He was the very picture of poise, inner calmness, and quiet endurance. He didn't sugarcoat it, though. He told his disciples it wasn't going to be a piece of cake, but never to lose heart. In John 16:33, he says, "In the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He encouraged his apostles all the time, "Cheer up, don't be afraid." He wanted them to remember that sense of joy and good cheer always. "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy will remain in you, and your joy will be full." I hope you'll tuck away our special affirmation in your heart and take it home with you today. I am patient, positive, and filled with faith. And as we all grow and practice our individual patience skills, there's an even bigger message here this morning for our whole church community. As Robert reminded us in the midst of our sacred conversations, we are practicing patience and love and compassion with each other as we find our way into the new vision that is unfolding for Unity of New York. I know with you this morning that Spirit has called each one of us to be the dreamers and the architects of our next new evolution. Keep the faith, baby. Spirit is leading us in the right direction. And if you still need just the tiniest bit more reassurance, I want to share a couple of lines from a great old gospel song I just love. It's called "Farther Along." And the chorus says, "Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Walk in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by." And so it is. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Becca. Keep the faith. Take that in. Keep the faith. See, keep the faith. I knew Ray would show up. The power of patience. I am patient, positive, and filled with faith. And I am so blessed. I keep the faith. I am so blessed for all that I have, for all that I am, and especially for all that God is. And we know this in song as we prepare to go deeper into meditation. I am so blessed. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful, I am so blessed for all that I am. Thank you.
I invite you to close your eyes and settle down in your chair. And as you relax, feel that cool air gently moving across your face. And with the next deep breath, feel your heart is opening wide. Go within and close the door. Leave everything else outside and bring only love into this time of prayer and meditation. It's the perfect time to be still and relax into God's time in this sacred space where there is nothing but peace and infinite love and endless calm. Here in the heart of God, we are safe and supported. We know that all our dreams are safe here too, in this perfect oasis. God's light is so bright, there is no place for shadows of discouragement or disappointment. There is no room for frustration. No need to worry or fret, for the things we imagine just be might out of our reach. In this sacred place of silence and stillness, we welcome new dreams from God, gently placing them in our hearts this morning. And as these sweet dreams unfold, just as they did for Joseph, we know that the tools we need to manifest them are already resting in our hands. The power of wisdom, the power of imagination, the power of faith, the power of patience. These awesome powers are ours to use just as we will. In our hearts, we see ourselves effortlessly putting each tool to work, creating the greatest life imaginable. We embrace today a new life, pressed down and overflowing with prosperity, with love, and peace of mind for ourselves and all those we love. With cheerful hearts, we see the highest and best manifesting at this moment around our world. And as we move into our time of silence, we feel the arms of spirit surrounding us with the courage to see and move boldly toward our dreams, trusting and knowing that all is well.
When love floods our mind and heart, there is nothing we cannot do. No dream is too big, no task too impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. And with your next breath in, gently become aware of the chair supporting you and feel your feet on the floor. As we return into this beautiful symphony space together, we are energized by our time in spirit and newly confident in our dreams. And so it is.